Blog Talk Radio.
It was the Anglo-American Alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, The Truth and the Voice of the EDL. This afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show is The English Defence League Radio Show. Tommy Robinson, callback. Okay, let me just read the script to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host. That's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my panelists. this afternoon, unfortunately, Jan the Tornado cannot join us, Jan Rennie, this afternoon as she's busy at work. And of course, we've also got Dave Agdur Milner, will be my panelist this afternoon and my wingman. Today, we will be talking about the headlines of the week and the continuing Islamisation of the United Kingdom and the wider world, facilitated by our own governments. As the hashtag IAmSoldierX campaign begins, a planet-wide sweep, we will also discuss the approaching retrial of author, journalist and EDL founding human rights leader, Mr. Tommy Robinson, set to take place on Tuesday the 23rd of October. Foot soldiers, angels and supporters of the cause, this show is your voice and platform. Please call in. No surrender. No surrender ever. With that, let me bring Dave in all the way from the United States of America. Good afternoon, or should we say good morning, Dave. It's about 10 a.m., just after, about 10 your time, Eastern Central Time, or whatever it is, Dave, isn't it? Something like that.
CQ United Kingdom, CQ United Kingdom, this is the United States calling. Oh, man, it takes
well,
me back.
That takes us back a bit, doesn't it, boy?
Yeah, it does. And a good afternoon to you, Jeff, and good morning to everybody in North America, and hello to everybody around the world, and again, yeah, good afternoon to our executive producer, Charlie, and our associate producer, Blue, who are in the background. You guys might hear. Folks, we've got
the bottom of his cage. He's got a shovel clearing out the bottom of his cage, his little Blueies.
Mm. Well, there you go. Being industrious.
Sorry, Dave.
Well,
I just turned around and see what you're doing.
It's the kind of thing associate producers do. You know, they clear up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we've got quite the show today. I mean, big news. Of course, we know that I Am Soldier X is really coming along. We know that Tommy Robinson is going to be on trial here. We got an audio
for
that.
It just goes to show
you,
Dave. I'm sorry it's not
stopping
you. I've just got to say, it just shows you with the weight and the cloud hanging over Tommy's head that he's still going an extra stride towards these soldiers. It just shows you how important this young man is in all different movements across the world. He's such an important person, isn't he, Dave? What he's doing with all this hanging over him, and I don't know how the young chap does it, really, Dave. You know, he's just goes to show you. It's sometimes a time is comes about as and cometh the time, cometh the man, isn't it, Dave? Are we living in them times, Dave?
Well, yeah, Jeff, I mean, this is something that the people are just going to have to stay tuned for, because we've got a couple of stories before this, but yeah, there's going to have a Tommy Robinson audio, and he's going to get into a lot of that, and yeah, and an amazing young man who has just a whole lot on his mind that he wants to talk about, all of it good. And he, as you say, he's a man for his times. I said in an earlier show, you know, there were times for people like Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King and Tommy Robinson as well. You know, the times happen. And you know, I think the Lord just calls people, and they come to it, and that's it. Now, Jeff, I'm going to give you. I already gave you the first story there for the chat. You got it in there.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hear about this again. By the way, I'm going to read this story anyway, but you're going to hear about it again. And that's why, you know, I'm calling it a callback, and you'll see why when I play the Tommy Robinson audio later on, right? So that's something you want to stay tuned for. Now, this one here is by Connor Boyd for the Mail Online, and it was put out on the 14th, okay? This is here. And this is just amazing. This is all thanks to Jan, by the way. Jan, found this originally from a thing on Breitbart that she saw. And here it is. Yeah, Commissioner Coward is in line for a get this £154,000 a year pension pot that's 12 times bigger than the one handed to the murdered police constable Keith Palmer's widow. That, by the way, is the one that this quote unquote commissioner cowered in his car and didn't help. And that's a headline. This is freaking outrageous. Sir, and I'm spelling that with a C and a U, a cur like a dog, Craig Mackey, criticized for locking himself in a car during the Westminster attack. The deputy Met commissioner was yards away from where P.C. Palmer was killed. This is just outrageous, man. It's outrageous to anyone that supports law enforcement that this would do this stuff, you know. Sir Craig, with a C-U-R, by the way, to get $154,000 a year, while the widow, Michelle Palmer, receives £12,800 a year. That's just a subhead right there. It is, man. It's just friggin', I mean.
It's totally disgraceful. It's what I said. There's them, and there's us. He is a part of the elite.
Yeah.
You know, he gets this sort of pension because he belongs to the upper class wankers association.
And
it is disgraceful. It's always been the same. I don't know if it'll ever change, but it needs a big shake-up because that money going to someone who's a coward like him doesn't deserve one penny
all right.
of our money.
Yeah. You're right, Jeff. Now, and I'm going to go ahead and read the story.
Agree.
And then, yeah, we do. And I'm going to read the story, and then we'll talk some more about it because I'm totally in agreement with you, brother. The police chief who failed to help I want to read that again. Police failed to help murdered Keith Palmer during the Westminster attack is in line for a pension pot 12 times bigger than that of the late officer's widow. Deputy Met Commissioner, that's London Metropolitan Police for my American brothers and sisters, Sir Craig Mackey, he's got a knighthood, guys. Yeah. He's 56. Locked himself in his vehicle while Police Constable Palmer, age 46, was stabbed to death by jihadi Khalid Massoud. When Mackey retires in December, he could pocket £154,000 a year or $12,800 each month. Now, for you Americans, $12,800, figure that to be right around $15,000 a month for being a coward. Now, that's based on current earnings that the guy gets.
I'd freeze his bank account. I'd freeze his assets. That's what I'd do. I'm so disgusted with this story.
If I
had the power, he wouldn't have a penny. He wouldn't have a penny of that money. He does not deserve that money. There was a man who was dying not far from him. He was too busy cowering in his car, locked in. Just a total coward. And he's expecting a pension? What has he done in his life to achieve a massive pension like that? What?
Well, I know. I mean, the equivalent of 15,000 American dollars a month. Now, guys, think about that. What, you know, any American law enforcement officers or law enforcement officer families, wouldn't you like to have $15,000 a month for your loved one's lifelong services of yours? You know, but instead of that, this piece of crap gets one. Anyway, I'm going to read more of the story. Meanwhile, Michelle Palmer, age 35, is thought to be left with a £12,757 annual widow's pension. And again, that's only about $15,000 a year for this poor lady. Retired Chief Inspector Mick Neville, who spent almost 30 years in the Met, told The Sun, when the public look at P.C. Palmer's bravery to stop a terrorist, then the contribution of Mr. Mackey, they will judge themselves who deserves the most pension. And, Jeff, before I continue, I just want to say, Inspector Neville, no, excuse me, Chief Inspector Neville, I want to use his proper title, really deserves a thumbs up for saying that, because so many people, you know, he may even wind up penalized for just saying that, you know, for just having that much, as you put it, that much bottle to say what needs to be said on this issue. Now, I'm going to continue. Sir Craig was yards away from the attack last March when unarmed, Police Constable Palmer was knifed to death. Okay, and they've got his picture here. Guys, it's in the story out of respect. I did not put it in the slides, you know, just out of respect for him and his family. I didn't put it in there. But as you might guess, Jeff and I both respect and honor this man. He said he remained in his vehicle was because he had no protective equipment and no radio. And I'll get into that a little bit after when we comment on this. Sir Craig was acting Met Commissioner at the time and was earning a salary of £225,657. That's over £250,000. That would be more or less about 300,000 American bucks. He faced calls to resign and for him to be stripped of his knighthood from the former officers and on police forums. And I could not agree with that more. I'm going to read more.
That was from the Police Association.
The people
that work within the police organization have called for his assets to be frozen, his future pension. Yeah?
Well, and for his knighthood to be taken away. He doesn't deserve that. Now, I'm gonna finish reading this. Okay, but the Metropolitan Police condemned criticism against Mackey's decision to stay in the car, saying he had absolutely no opportunity to save P.C. Palmer. Met Commissioner, and whose fault is that? Met Commissioner Criseida Dick, you know, we've done a story or two about her, said criticism of her deputy's decision is, quote, simply wrong, end quote, and, quote, not supported by the evidence, end quote. Well, what evidence? He stayed in the effing car. Sorry, guys. Her comments echoed those made by Chief Coroner Mark Lovecraft, QC, and the Met's counter-terror chief, Neil Basu, who both spoke out in support of Sir Craig's actions on March 12 of last year. Well, yeah, of course, vultures of a feather flocking together, all right? And I'm going to read a little bit more here as I've scrolled down. Now, last week, a coroner ruled that Westminster terrorist Khalid Massoud was lawfully killed after his murderous rampage. Well, no duh. It took a jury of Massoud's Old Bailey inquest 2 hours and 22 minutes to conclude that the armed police were right to shoot him dead. You got to be kidding me that it even went that far. Speaking after the inquest, Ms. Dick addressed, quote, the extraordinary amount of confusion, unpleasant, personalized, and ignorant commentary, end quote, about the actions of Sir Craig. Oh, well, sorry, Ms. Dick. I guess you're not going to be very happy with me either, are you? I'm going to continue reading. These criticisms are simply not supported by the evidence, she said. The attack in New Palace Yard occurred and was stopped in seconds. Sir Craig had absolutely no opportunity to stop the killer or save P.C. Palmer. Anyone who suggests otherwise is simply wrong. I'm going to scroll down and just say, yeah, then part of the reason for that is because he wasn't properly prepared. and that is the fault of the Met. The actions he was able to and did take were to protect the unarmed police staff colleagues who were in the car with him. He went on to lead the Met's response to the attack with distinction. Yeah, once P.C. Palmer was killed. Yeah, distinction my ass. Okay. Deputy Police Commissioner.
murdered.
Yeah,
and,
I know,
and
yeah.
They given him full distinction of locking himself. Is it distinction
that's
to be classed as a
right.
coward? Is that it now, these days? If you're
exactly.
a coward, it comes into a high class.
Please continue.
Jeff,
you're right. That's a new distinction as far as the left is concerned. Deputy Police Commissioner Sir Craig Mackey was widely condemned after admitting he hid in his vehicle while PC Keith Palmer was fatally stabbed outside Parliament that day. He told Massoud's inquest he locked the doors with two civilian colleagues inside because they had no equipment. And again, whose fault is that? Meanwhile, the jihadi, age 52, launched a ferocious attack which killed PC Palmer and four others and seriously injured 29. You're kidding me. His actions strike a dramatic contrast to PC Wayne Marks, Constable Leon McLeod, and Constable Charles, I want to get this name right, Gingo, who faced the London Bridge terrorists head-on a few months later and were given Queen's honors. Well, at least they got that part right, Jeff. But summing up evidence at Massoud's inquest, Mark Lucraft QC said Sir Craig, age 54, couldn't have done anything to stop him on March the 22nd of last year. Couldn't have, gone in there with his fists, could he? Anyway, he said, it is clear from the evidence of Sir Craig there was nothing he could have done to stop Massoud. So any police training that he got in unarmed combat, anything like that, nah, forget that. You know, he couldn't do anything. You know, give him the money. He said none of the three occupants in the car had any means of protecting themselves or resisting an attack.
Again,
whose fault is that?
Hey, there was three against one.
I know.
What's that about? There was three of them in the car, colleagues. So they're all policemen. And they locked themselves in.
Even if he had got out of the car, it was clear from the CCTV evidence he would not have reached PC Palmer before Massoud inflicted his fatal wounds, he said. Yeah, but he could have at least tried. I'll get into that.
He could have run, maybe stopped him in his tracks from preventing him from stabbing that officer.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. There was three of them. Cowed in the face of the enemy is the highest thing that you can be done. Dave, he's a coward.
I know, a total coward.
And he's still getting a pension. This is what makes me sick about our government, the elitists who drive this thing. And it's ordinary people. Don't forget what happened to that young man. On London Bridge, he stood his ground against three of them, got almost hacked to death. He stood there and took them on. That was just a man. He was unarmed. But
he attacked them.
He went after them. So it just goes to show you, one man, there was three of them, and there was one of him. What did that young man get out of it? Nothing.
He got called a racist and all that. This
muppet is going to get a very large pension at the end of the year. Absolutely disgusting, and it should be underlined, and it should never happen. I'll tell you, I'm furious, Dave.
Well, it makes anyone furious that there's a lot more to this story. So, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead and finish, that's okay. That's the story. Now, here's my bite of it, just for right now. Here's my bite of the apple on this one. they keep on saying he had, you know, he had no way of defending, you know, P.C. Palmer or anything like that. Well, again, whose fault is that? All right. Whose fault is that? Because what you have, okay, he was chief of the Met at the time. And okay, he was on a ministerial visit, which means that he didn't have a personal weapon on him. All right. okay. Well and good. Okay. You know, you don't walk into, you know, you don't walk into ministry offices, armed up. All right. But he had a car, Jeff, and listeners, you know, he had a car and he was in London. And this is a place where a lot of terrorism takes place.
Well, he could have used the car to mow the bastard down. He could have used the car to mow that bastard down, couldn't he? Let's be honest, he's left himself in his car. It's easy to turn the ignition on and go after him, chase him down and run the bastard over.
Well, it's not even that.
Dave, that's it. If you're not going to do that, take your car keys out. I know I would. I know what I'm made of. I'll take the car keys out and I'll turn my keys in a weapon and I'll go after that horrible bastard and take him down, one way or the other.
Well, Jeff,
I haven't got nothing. I couldn't protect myself. Car keys. Think about it, Dave. You could turn a car key into a really nasty weapon, mate.
It's
of car keys.
Weapon.
Think about it. I know I have. Going back in time.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. Well, and improvised weapons are fine, you know. But again, this guy was the police chief. You know, you can't tell me it was completely irresponsible that he didn't have so much as a submachine gun in his car. Or even a tactical shotgun. Jeff, I showed you one time a picture of a very nice Benelli, tactical shotgun.
Yeah.
You know, you really like that. Police have these tactical shotguns. He should have had that kind of gear in his car. He didn't have that. He didn't even have a radio. You know, whose fault is that?
None of them are hitched to do that sort of work. They're okay sending other young bobbies out there, putting a gun in other coppers' hands, but they're not there when something goes down, what do? They act all liberal, go liberal, and say, well, I couldn't defend myself. Shouldn't have been a police officer, because being a police officer is supposed to be defending your citizens, protecting your citizens. He was well out of his depth, and he shouldn't have been in that job for a start.
Jeff, that's the way I think about it, and I know you do, Dave. He's got, you know, I mean, if you're a police chief, this is the real world, and I totally get what you're talking about. You know, he's more a politician than a police officer. But again, this is the real world, and this is why I say, you know, that the leadership of the Met Police was irresponsible about this. He didn't have a subgun. He didn't have a shotgun. He didn't have so much as a pistol. He didn't have so much as, you know, a 9mm pistol or a 40-cal pistol or anything like that in his car. You know, in London, where terrorist attacks are rife, where crime is going through the roof, he didn't even have he didn't even consider getting out of his car and attacking the guy physically. I know that this has been a controversy over here with our military and things like that. As far as I'm concerned, if you're in a profession that requires physical contact with a malefactor, be it the military or be it the police, you should have the kind of physical training necessary to take someone on and take them down. And if you get too old or too disabled to do that, well then, you're pensioned off, honorable discharge, whatever. That's just the way it should be. And the fact that
used to do when they used to get a bit old and but this was totally betrayal of the public
It was complete irresponsibility and cowardice.
Because you can't call it anything other than that. But Dave,
right.
Very hard-hitting facts that we've been using today. Hope you don't mind.
And thank you, Jen.
A couple of things that Bob said, and I want to actually comment on a couple of things he said. Let me see. One of the first things that Volk said today is he says, guys, do you even care about those 27 soldiers punished for taking a selfie with Tommy? I think we should be trying to rescue them now. Now, I said
we're going
to
cover that later for keep your pants on.
Okay, Volk. Many, many people are working on this. I don't think Thorpe understands the infuriation that's going on. And I just want to let him know personally that there's a lot that's happening. And you might not hear too much about that. I'll guarantee you that Mr. Shut up, Charlie! Mr. Robinson and so many other people out there and across the world are really getting into this whole situation with the 27 soldiers and the one that was sacked. And he said it's just curious, not judgmental. You've got to realise, Volk, that we do a show twice a week. And if we didn't care, we wouldn't be talking about these issues, would we? So, and I'd like to say on behalf of a lot of patriots out there and a lot of ex-servicemen and personnel,
yeah,
that Tommy's been inundated by those people. And of course, there is a growing thing. You know what, Tommy's like, things happen, and that's what he's achieving. So, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on. You have the same, very similar situations that you've had in the United States, in Canada, and that. But we're now really getting our act together on this situation. Of course, it was disgraceful that any of them should face any sort of disciplinary action because they took a selfie with Mr. Robinson, who is a very likeable chap. And, you know, whether it goes against the MOD's rules or the government because they despise Tommy, because Tommy, in their eyes, is the enemy of the state. That's the reason why he's got his book. And also he'll be having a new book come out, I reckon, not too distant future, The Battle for Britain, which he talked about when he was in prison, actually. You've got to realise, Volk, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of things going on in this country, and not just here, but the wider part of the world as well. But I just wanted to share that with you Dave, with what Volk, had to say. And of course, I appreciate your comments, Volk, and so does Dave. Sometimes we have a little quiet time so we can address those issues with yourself there, buddy. That's what, it's what you expect to hear what we've got to say on these points. So I think that's what we do. Over to you, Dave. I think you'd agree with that.
Well, I look at it this way. First of all, we got an echo. So, Jeff, if you want to call back in real quick, I'll explain this. Yeah, okay, so there we go. Yeah, now here's the deal. We lay the show out the way we do. This show is called Tommy Robinson Callback. And yes, the second part of the show is going to be dedicated to those soldiers, Vorpal Byte. So, we're on it. We've been on it for, ever since this began, and we're going to stay on it, because we support Mr. Robinson. We support the troops in both of our countries, in all our countries. We support them. That's the way it's going to be. It may seem to you like we're covering irrelevancies. We're going to cover something else. before we talk about the whole I Am Soldier X thing. But be assured we will cover it. And, you know, it may seem like madness, but there's method to the madness, okay? So, there you go. And, Jeff, I've got the next story here, and there isn't much to it. This is fairly short because we do want to get to the Tommy Robinson thing after we take a little small break here. I'm going to give you this here. And, by the way, you know, again, I want to thank Jan. Because she has done really great work getting some stories up in here for us, and just terrific stuff, from Jan, and you can see this in the slides there, guys. Tony Blair raises his little knobby old head again. And there isn't much to this story, but guys, I wanted to run this one, and Jan felt like it was important too, because if you remember, if you were with us the day after, the first show we did after it was announced that Brexit had gone through, it was a jubilant time, and once in a while, when we're not able to do shows or whatnot, I'll run that one, because I have to say, Jeff, I never ever heard you so happy and so elated in my life, not before or since, man. It was a wonderful, wonderful time when that was announced. But Paul Watson, did a video right afterward. In fact, we still have it, have the audio. He talked about it. He said, be careful, because they're going to do what they did in Holland and other places. They're going to try and run more referendums just so that they can keep us in Europe and things like that. So he called it the very day that Brexit went through. And, I have to give him kudos for doing that. Of course, we all knew that that they'd try this crap on, as you guys, Jeff, put it in the UK, okay? This one here, and again, thanks to Jan, came out on the October the 11th. And this is out of the Telegraph, okay? And I like the way that... that they, this looks like an op-ed, but I like the way that they put this here, Jeff. I'll just read this. Tony Blair just made an incredible offer on Brexit, and you won't want to miss out. Okay, I'm going to scroll down on this. This is kind of, it's pathetic, but it's funny as well. Okay, here we go. Roll up. Gather around, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I should have you read this one, Jeff. None other than Mr. Tony Blair himself wishes to make you an offer. It's the offer of a lifetime. Just wait till you hear it. You won't believe your ears, and you won't either. The offer, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Mr. Blair promises that if you let him have just one more EU referendum, just one more, then he'll never ask you for another one ever again. Yes, yes, madam, that's right. As long as you let Mr. Blair have a second referendum, he guarantees never, ever, ever to ask you for a third. Yes, yes, sir, you heard me correctly. No third referendum. and it goes on. But, of course, I'm not a premium member, so I can't get the rest of it, Jeff. But I love the way
what
that...
What a wanker.
The...
Yeah, exactly. What a wanker. Yeah. It's pathetic.
It is. Oh, by the way, Jeff,
though?
I got to say, that was written by Michael Deacon, and big kudos to you, Michael Deacon. Well done.
Yeah,
and,
well
and,
done.
That's exactly it, though,
it's,
Jeff.
That little icon that we need sometimes, don't we? that little ray of sunshine that we get flitter across our old desks sometimes that we can really make this cloud. Because actually, you know, I think of Tony Blair, and I always get a picture when I think of Tony Blair these days as Ronald McDonald, you know, wearing a clown's outfit and making stupid statements. That's what I think of Tony Blair these days, as a Ronald McDonald.
He's more like
clown.
Well, he's more like an evil Ronald McDonald. I mean, you know, I actually like Ronald McDonald.
Good point.
You know, I mean, he was a nice guy. You know, sold us nice burgers and fries when they were good and everything. You know, but this thing, you know, this guy,
good point.
Chucky.
Chucky.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. There you are. Yep, Chucky. Yeah. He's exactly what we used to call in the States, you know, like a carnival barker, just like the gentleman who wrote that op-ed piece said, you know. You know, it's selling us, or trying to sell the people of the UK, yet another Brexit referendum, which, again, was something we all called. We all said, yeah, they'd try it. And, you know, yeah, there it is, man. So, trying to sell people another, you know, because they didn't like the results of the first one. Tony Blair was a Ramoner. You know, he wanted to stay in Europe. You know, part of the whole Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn crowd and people like that, regardless of party, you know, forget party. Who cares about that when it comes to this, because the truth comes out. And yet, you know, he didn't like the fact that the people didn't vote the way he wanted it. So he wants another one. What a freaking crybaby. And who cares if he's not going to ask us for another one? Okay, Jeff, you know this, and I know this. If there was a second referendum and everyone still voted leave, okay, come on, man. You're going to tell me that he wouldn't ask for a third? I don't think so. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather bet that I could walk, you know, that I could walk straight through Tower Hamlets with a Jesus Love You T-shirt on and a big cross, and, you know, not get any mess from the Muslims. Okay, it's ridiculous. It really is. The people have spoken, have they not, Jeff?
Well, the whole thing is, no matter how many times they call for it. A second referendum. Look, right from the off, we knew that when we went into the EU, it was the class as the common market back in the day when Edward Heath signed a treaty. Back in the day, none of us knew exactly what he was signing. He was signing, he's basically signing his soul to the devil. And that is how it panned out to be. It took us a number of years to really understand the implications we've been involved with the then called common market, which, you know, basically hyped into the EU. We see it over all the years that we had to stand by while they imposed all these stupid... Do you know, at one time, the EU wanted to do something about the bananas. So they didn't like the bananas having a slight curve. So there was talk. Now, honestly, Dave, pulling the fast one. But there was talk about straightening up the bananas so they're just straight. But can you believe that this is how extreme and how stupid... they thought that we'd go along with us trying to straighten out our bananas. No one touches my banana. I like a curve on my banana, don't you?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody touches my banana unless I ask them to. You know what I mean, baby? Anyway.
How totalitarian. Bananas.
How totalitarian.
That they come out with.
How many years went by
until we finally got our Brexit? How many years? How many times did they promise that we would get a vote, and then at the last moment they squandered it? and said, oh, no, we can't do it this time. Maybe next time. Well, next time did come, and 17.5 million people voted Brexit. We want our sovereignty back. We want to be ruled by our own rules, not EU rules. That is what we signed. That's what I signed to, like many others, like many other my friends across the country. 75 million of us. You know, and out
there
means out. Not out means we'll have another referendum till we get an in. No, that's not how it works. This is democracy work. This is how democracy works.
You can't keep trying
till you get it right.
No means no. And Jeff, you know, how totalitarian do you have to be when you're going to try and change the shape of fruit? I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about the mentality of these people. But, you know, no, Tony Blair, bite me. I'll borrow a little one from Jeff. You know, Tony Blair, do one. We're not going for this. Jeff, what I want to do is play a little bit of a tune.
Dave, before we do, can I just? I've got funny comments here. You've got to hear them, Dave. You've got to hear them.
Okay, good. Go ahead, man.
Thorpe's talking about the banana when I was talking about they want to straighten out our bananas, right? He's going, yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. And then he goes on to go, Dale, come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me bananas.
Only if the EU tallied it, they cheat him. Yeah. So, all right, man. I'm going to go ahead, Jeff, and play us a little bit of a tune. And you may have to pick it up, when it comes back, because I'm going to have to leave the room for a second. But I'm going to go ahead and play this little bit of a tune here, and then we'll come back. And once we come back, we're going to be talking about the I Am Soldier X campaign. I'm going to run an audio from Tommy Robinson, and we're going to discuss some of that, and maybe have a little bit more. So guys, stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
And that was Miss Cilla Black. Bless her.
Yes, it was.
Rest her soul. Lovely lady.
Yes.
And guess what, Dave? Warp will buy likes that version. He likes that version.
That's honestly, Vorp, I appreciate that, you know, because honestly, I like it too. I like it better than the Beatles version. And you can find that on YouTube. And guys, you know, if you go on YouTube and you look at that, that was done about 1970, and she was just beautiful. Beautiful, man. She was beautiful in 1970. I mean, amazing.
Well, Cilla Black, and if we want to do a trip down memory lane, going back to before she was famous, she was used to be a person who used to take your coat in the cavern.
Yeah.
This is the place where the Beatles
coat check girl
first
the cavern.
Established themselves. So, she
That's
used
right.
to be the cloakroom attendant. She used to take people's coats, and if things unfolded. From there, I think she got to know the Beatles a bit. And Brian Epstein, actually had a chat to her. He liked what she looked like, and he wanted to hear what she sounded like. I think that's how it went, Dave. And the story's history. I mean, but she, at the time with the Beatles, was really just starting, out. They used to do their things every week at the cabin. I don't know if the cabin still exists. I think it should be.
I don't believe
like
it does,
Jeff.
Yeah, I think it's gone now.
It was a great time. There was a revolution went on. When the Beatles arrived. And, of course, Cilla Black, the Mersey Beats, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody, if you're listening, you know where I'm coming from. Because I grew up in that era. I got to admit, it was probably the best time. The Beach Boys, Dave. I met the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
I met two of the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I met two of the Beatles.
Yeah, it is.
Dave, good time. Yeah. In fact, I think I met one of the Kinks once as well.
Well, when that
on my journeys, my travels.
You're talking about Bananas career, so it's no wonder. No, Jeff, I still have to ask this question. I always forget about it. Okay, now the Beach Boys, I know that, I know one of them you met because... it was the one with the beard, okay? So I know you met him.
That's
but the
Brian.
Beatles,
was it Brian?
No, it was not Brian. That was, okay. Yeah, now you're going to make the... You know, that was the other one, one of the other ones, but I can't think of his name. What I'm wondering about, though, Jeff, is... and by the way, guys, he met these people because he was working at the Savoy Hotel in London. Which two of the Beatles did you meet?
Oh, the Beach Boy guys.
Yeah. Which two of the Beatles did you meet?
I met George and Ringo.
Oh, yeah, George and Ringo. Okay, see, I thought one of them was George. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one was Ringo.
Cool.
I think and the reason why, I think I was having a break when they come through a little bit earlier. They did come through as a group, and that's what the hall porter told me. He said, you missed the other two, and that was John and Paul, who'd gone straight down to, I think it was the Mikado, actually, Dave, going back, I think it was called the Mikado Room. They was accepting an award or something or other, an Emmy or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was a big thing, and I was working late that evening, so my time finished at 10 o'clock, and they'd arrived around about 8:30, 8:45, something like that, I was there for till the end of my shift, but I met so many, as I say, the ones, as I say, that caught my eye more, was the Beatles, I mean, Jane Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
Mia Farrow.
Yeah, she got your eye.
These are the ladies I met, and I had a soft spot for both of them, especially Mia Farrow. She was only a little thing, Mia Farrow. And as I say, Jane Mansfield, she was only a little thing, but oh, my goodness me.
She was a stunner.
The last day at the hotel, she forgot she needed the baby's bottle, So I run up to the room for her. She said, could you get the, I forgot my, the other bottle. And I, no, no problem, because I really liked her. So I ran up, got the bottle, and that was the last time that she saw her alive. That was sad. That was sad. About 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks later, she'd got killed in an accident, and
yeah,
it broke my
thing,
heart.
Man.
It really made me really distraught. It was a really sad time. I couldn't get over it, and sorry about that, Dave. I do reminisce now and again, but it's my old memories. It's times that I remember. And I was only don't forget, I was only 15 or 16, Dave, so I was only very young man then.
Well, you know, and Jeff, in a way, it's a good thing because it's a callback to a time when the UK was not overrun with Muslims and everything. And by the way, it was Mike Love, the guy with the beard. That's who it was that I was trying to think of that you met from the Beach Boys.
Lovely,
who the other one was, I don't know.
Lovely chaps.
But,
and their
was
wives
were
lovely.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah,
well,
no,
their
wives was lovely as well. And they're really nice to talk to. You know, I talked to them a couple of occasions and... You know, so I was overwhelmed a little bit. You know, when you know you've got people that you got their album indoors. You got an LP of theirs indoors, and you play it all the time, like I used to do the Beatles and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, it was just it was a great time, and I'll never ever forget those times. There were some other things I won't go into, but I had some great times at that hotel, Dave.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well,
say
I expect
no more.
So. Well, yeah, I expect so, Jeff. And yeah, you know, but yeah, that was a time when the UK was a completely different place than it is now.
Oh,
but, you know, but it's wonderful that you have memories like that. And yeah, Cilla Black had a voice like no other. It's just a shame she never made it, you know, even bigger in the music industry than she deserved to. But guys, we're going to get back into the show now, I promise. What can we do here?
Well, we've got two separate shows going, and we're talking about
exactly.
old artists of old, and you know, we've got a radio show,
music segment.
We can go off the rail a little bit and discuss something, but please pray continue, Dave.
It is worth it, though, Jeff. It is worth it because we can't just talk about doom and gloom all the time, and we have to talk about what we're fighting for. You know, we're fighting for a world where the fun stuff like the Beatles and the Beach Boys and Jane Mansfield movies and stuff like that aren't considered haram and banned by Muslims and crap like that. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead here, guys, and attend well. This is an audio from Tommy Robinson that he made. Now, guys, this is a bit chopped up because he had his GPS going in his car because he was going somewhere, but this one's about 13 and a half minutes long. And this is going to cover a few things and it's a pretty good audio. So, guys, give this a listen. And then once we hear this, we'll come back. Jeff and I'll comment. OK, so here we go.
I'm just giving a quick update as to some people would have seen today. There was a little judgment made at the Old Bailey with regards to my trial. So next Tuesday, the 23rd, I will stand trial again for contempt of court. Now, there was a judgment made today by the judge. He passed a judgment to say that he will take the case himself and he will prosecute and judge, from what I understand. There were submissions and a legal argument that this has to go to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then instructs a prosecutor. That hasn't happened, and it's actually, which I just don't understand how this can be. It's actually the judge who's added extra charges. So the person who's going to judge it has added more charges. I can't have a jury, so I haven't got a jury. So I'll be tried for contempt of court for breaching a reporting restriction that multiple other journalists the same weekend breached. None of them have faced prosecution. In fact, their cases were sent to the Attorney General. Sending it to the Attorney General, from what I understand from my legal team, is the correct procedure. Now, the case that I was sent to prison for standing outside is actually still under reporting restrictions. So I believe there's a legal effort by journalists, why it's taken them this long, but they're going to put a legal effort on Thursday to try and have this reporting restrictions lifted. Why they didn't do that in the first place? Why were there these blanket reporting restrictions that you can't talk about this case whatsoever or you'll be put in prison? The journalists are now going to try and lift the reporting restrictions. And if they're lifted, then we can all find out the details, can't we? About what's gone on. Where there's a lot of details to come out. But I've been in a legal meeting today as well, up in Manchester, with solicitors to look at all the cases that I want to have against the Sunday Times, against the police, against the prison. To be able to fight these cases, this is where it's impossible, yeah? To be able to fight these cases, the charges, it's insane. But that's another whole video and another whole story. This story is to let people know that on the 23rd, I'll be standing trial at the Old Bailey. I know when I walked around the corner last time, it was such a feeling on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock that many people would have turned out. And it felt amazing. Rather than being worried or concerned, which obviously I will be, I felt elevated. So what I understand is the trial will happen on the 23rd and the judge will pass judgment the morning of the 24th, from what I understand. Now he's going to find me guilty. I just don't understand how a judge can... I do not get it, which I'm sure these legal arguments will come up again, how the procedure, the reason my case got dismissed last time was because they did not follow procedures. This is not following procedures again, from what I understand, from my legal thing. And we're currently at, while we're on it, we're currently... I Am Soldier X campaign is currently at nearly 185,000 signatures. I'd ask, if you haven't signed it, please sign it. It'll take 1 minute. I want to have at least 200,000 signatures when I go and deliver this. I want to deliver it before my court case now, I think I will do, in case I'm not here. I want to deliver it. I'm taking my children away for the weekend. So, I wish I could be here. And I've been travelling and we've been everywhere, and I'm everywhere for the next 2 days as well, or 3 days until we go. So, if you haven't signed it, sign it. As I said, we're nearly at 185,000. We want to be at 200,000. The support has been unbelievable. You've seen it open my eyes up to, which is gutting, really, and devastating. The conditions that our armed forces are facing. You might have seen that our armed forces apparently got 2% pay rise. But what they don't tell you is they put their living conditions, they have to pay to live where they live. They put that up and they put their food up. As I'm talking, I read a report. I've been reading so much to try and get... I think that once I get caught out of the way, either way, if it's me going away and come back out, I want to tell the stories of many of these armed forces, of what's happening to them, of why they feel the way they do, and their standard of living, the support they receive, neglect shown towards them. And I want to run videos or make videos about each individual thing and tell these people's stories, because they don't have a voice. And I realise that by... I've been breaking my heart sometimes reading some of these messages I'm getting. Some of the messages I'm getting about what conditions they're living under, about people who have suffered, people who have been blown up, all it's coming down to money, trying to prevent them getting the access to the facilities they need, the support they need. They're basically just being dumped. And that's why this I Am Soldier X campaign, I can see, is going to explode, in the sense of people want a voice. These people are being neglected. And even like 8,600 members of the army are clinically obese. I read a report yesterday. 8,600 are obese. Why are they obese? That's what you should be asking. Why are they obese? And then you look at the food that they're getting given, that they're getting fed, and they have to pay for it themselves. It used to be deducted automatically out of their wages, so they'd automatically just get their meals and their food. Now it goes on a pay-as-you-go system. So by the end of the month, either they haven't got a lot of money either, and a takeaway, two pieces of chicken and chips or a kebab, is a lot cheaper. Yeah? And so that's why, I think 2 Weetabix went up from, they said 50p, the next day they come in, they went up, 2 Weetabix and milk, the next week, when they come in, it was £1.30. So, everything, I'm finding out so many stories, but again, I don't want to rush it all. I want to tell each individual point to each one of them. And to see, I'm speaking to so many, it seems like they're fed up. I spoke to one lad who said that if we went to war tomorrow, if we went to war, he reckons half the lads would walk off because they're fed up and they don't feel what they're defending. They don't feel. And if you're in this and you're working in the public service at all, if you're a policeman, I've got a policeman from America who's just sent me a picture of him in his uniform saying hashtag I am Soldier X. If you're in the police force in Britain and you feel you can't do your job because of the political pressure, because of the diversity or rules within the police force, etc., you're not getting the promotion you're supposed to get because of all these things, show your support to the Soldier I Am Soldier X campaign. Police officers, if you work in the hospital, in the NHS, if you're doctors, if you're nurses, every sector of British workforce that's government controlled, they're forcing these agendas through. Yeah, they're forcing them through. And people are feeling it. And you can see they're feeling it. I can see they're feeling it in the messages I'm getting and the conversations I'm having. I'm not just speaking to low-level people within the army, within the armed forces. This is all the way to the top. I've had conversations with warrant officers. I've had conversations with so many people this week that's making me realise, Jesus, so many captains who are just disgusted. Disgusted squadron leaders who are disgusted with the fact that they're throwing one of our own, they're sacrificing, that's what they're doing, they're sacrificing a 17-year-old boy's life and future because of the Muslim Council of Britain. That's what they're doing, they're sacrificing a man. And you can see by the responses by all the armed forces who are putting their messages up, we never leave a man behind, we stand with him. They're letting the country know that the members of our armed forces stand with that 17-year-old boy. They don't stand with me. No, that's not what this is about. This isn't about standing with Tommy Robinson. This is about standing with that boy. Standing with him against the Muslim Council of Britain, who have signed declarations to say that our armed forces are legitimate targets of terror attacks, legitimate targets for suicide bombings in Iraq. That's what they signed. The Muslim Council of Britain are an extremist organisation that currently have the leadership. And again, when I say the top brass, it's not all the top brass, but there is a problem here. There is a problem, just like in the police force. When you get to the top of the police force, they are politicians. They're not police. Look at that copper who sat in his car and watched as Khalid Massoud murdered one of his own. Your ordinary Bobby, your ordinary police officer on the street wouldn't have sat in the car. You wouldn't have sat in the car, but at the top, where we have cowards with silver spoons who are so detached from their own workforce, from their own community, from their own people, to realise the level of anger and frustration and resentment that people are feeling due to the appeasement and the political correctness that's been shoved down everyone's throats in this country, that you think you can get away. And if you are one of those top brass watching this video, if you made the right decision, currently your army personnel are uniting, but they're not uniting on your side. They're uniting for Soldier X, and that's not going to die down. And so long as I'm out here, I'm not going to let it die down. I'm going to continue to push this. I don't want to be working against my own British Army or my own government. But what we want you to do is show some respect to your own citizens who are willing to sacrifice their life to protect us and our freedom. And you think you can throw them under a bus like that. So do the right thing. Come out publicly and let people know Soldier X is not losing his job. Soldier X has a career, something he wishes to do. And then there's no need for I Am Soldier X campaign. Well, actually, I think there is now. I think it's gone way beyond that now, because there's so many problems within the armed forces that I'm hearing that they're not allowed. I know they're not allowed to join a union. They're not allowed a spokesman. They're not allowed a voice. I'm happy to be that voice. I'm happy to bring to the top or highlight the problems and the disgusting way that they're being treated. You send them off to war, they get life. We was at the services, what, two days ago, and another lad come up to me who was discharged 2 years ago because he had post-traumatic stress disorder. Just discharged, see you later. We've had our use of you, see you later. That's how it is. Now, you've got enough money in this country, and even if you look at foreign aid, you plough our money, you ask the British public where they want their money to go, yeah? It's not going to be to Afghanistan, Iraq or Syria. They're going to want it to be spent on our armed forces and the help and support that they need. The mental help they need. All of the help that they need. There should be no cost, no worry about money. The embarrassment of the way our country treats our veterans is a disgrace. You compare the level of respect that American armed forces get to ours, it's an absolute laughing stock. It's disgraceful. Yeah, Anjem Chowdhury's now, yeah, the cost to protect Anjem Chowdhury's now will be £2 million a year. Whilst we've got, I think, 60% of the people in London sleeping on the street are ex-members of our armed forces. And the reason on the street is because they're mentally suffering. They're mentally suffering because of what they've given for our country. They've gone and willingly put themselves in a situation where they will suffer mental torment for the rest of their life. And whilst they have that mental torment, what are you doing for them? Nothing but penalising them, calling them extremists. You come down on them. But anyway, I'm going to stop ranting because it's winding me up. But just, if you haven't signed the petition, sign it. I hope to see as many as you as possible on the 23rd, next Tuesday at the Old Bailey. We have a stage. We have a PA system. What I was gutted about last time, when I come out of that court, that you people who have travelled to London to see me, and I want to shake individually every one of your hands. I won't leave on Tuesday if I walk out of that court until I've met every single one of you. To thank you personally, from me, to thank you for the support, because it gives me an immense feeling that I may go into prison on my own, but I know I'm not alone. And I know that by the masses of support. And I also have I understand the public feeling, or my finger would be on the pulse, so far detached from our politicians, just by the reaction I get in every single town and city, everywhere I go. So understand this, if you're feeling, you're thinking this, and you're signing the petition, you're feeling this way, you're not alone. You are not alone. You are part of a tidal wave of patriotism that's sweeping this country in an uncontrollable state. And they have no idea what to do with it. They do not, at the minute, their thoughts are to try and shut me up or try and lock him up in prison. That ain't going to work. The cat's out of the bag. No matter what you do, the cat's out of the bag. Public feeling is growing. It's growing for patriotism, for nationalism, for identity, for our culture. You can't stop it. Thank you.
Well, do you know, he sounded a bit like me, Dave. I go,
whatever.
He did, Jeff. When he was talking, Tommy, he sounded like me, or I'm sounding like him. One of the two. But my goodness me, we're all sort of behind what's going on, and the support is growing. That's what I said. They're out of touch. They just have not got a clue. There's something coming big, and it's going to be a steamroller effect. And what once you go against our armed forces and you're doing things, throwing young men in a bin or under a bus because they had a photo taken with Tommy, and then basically it's the end times for them, and they don't even realise it. They don't even realise it that... What's happening around them, and that is the situation. And as I say, Tommy sums it up very well. And anybody that hasn't signed the petition yet, please do, because as Tommy said, I think this was a few days ago, so it's quite obvious, I think, or a day or so when he's done that. But
16,
I think it's grown to at least 200,000+ people signed the signature. I think so, Dave, and it could be closer to basically to maybe 250, something like that. But keep signing, guys. Whatever you do, keep signing it. We need to show them that we will not allow them to treat our young men and women the way that they do who joined the armed forces. They should have respect, and as what Tommy was saying, how much they get charged for a couple of Weetabix. Dave, I never knew it, man. I never knew how bad it was. They get a 2% rise, and it all goes, and they rise how much food, that goes up by 1%. Then the other 1% goes towards something else. Their 2% is gone. What benefits they making out of their money that they're making, Dave, got family, they still got homes, and they're setting the up, and things do need to be paid, don't they, Dave, But it's it's criminal. There's no doubt about it, Dave. I mean, we've talked about this situation for many, many years, and if it wasn't for for those young soldiers having a selfie with Tommy. And we've still talked about it, but not as intense as we have been doing of the last couple of weeks or so, isn't it, Dave? And it's growing.
Yeah.
It's growing all the time. So with your help and your signatures, we're going to make them realise that that's enough. This young man needs to be re-established back to what he was loving to be able to do. So let him fight for his country. So just keep signing, guys. Big respect to everybody that's signed. And as I say, for Tommy, you know, the guy's like a dynamo, Davey. He travels here, traveling there, and he's still got a big weight hanging over his shoulder because, you know, the way he was talking.
Yeah.
I just get up to Dave. This is me. I got a feeling that Tommy will walk out of the call. Tommy has, maybe that's the right impression to have with Tommy, that maybe he won't. But I've just got a heavy feeling within me that things are going to work out well for him. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll admit to all the listeners and to everybody, but I've just got a feeling that things are going to turn out right. We've had too much bad stuff come our way, haven't we, Dave, over the time. And you know, we need a bit of a change for what's happening. So, you know, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with these lads who are under scrutiny as well, 37 of them. As you know, 37 or 27, was it? Probably it's about roughly 37, isn't it, that they're under scrutiny?
Yeah.
I think they need to...
Well, yeah.
The MOD needs to get their shit together and to realise that we're the people. Stop fucking over our young men and women with your hierarchy crap. We don't need it. We the people deserve better, and you unrepresent what we are all about, what the Army service personnel have got to experience day in, day out. And my little bird's going crazy.
Well, she's just as irritated, Jeff, as anybody would be. And by the way, that right there, this is the reason I called this show Tommy Robinson Callback, because I saw that story that Jan put up about that cowardly piece of crap, you know, that's going to get that big money while the widow of the man that he refused to help is only going to get like a 12th of it. And then I got the Tommy Robinson audio and I processed it a little bit and I heard him talking about it, and I said, oh, well, there you go. That's what we in the United States call a callback.
Yeah. No, well, it has to be done, and we'll just keep the pressure up. I mean, it's this is what's good about internet radio shows like we do, and Dave, with what things you do, pushing it from the United States and other people that you're involved with, we can do that.
Yeah.
And it's how you keep the pressure.
You got to do it. And you know, I want to say also, one of the things that I did cut out of the audio was that there's going to be a demonstration. I believe this is going to be on Saturday. You know, I'm not positive about it, but he's going to be at a demonstration, I think, on Saturday. Well, actually, he's not going to be there. But there's going to be a demonstration on Saturday. It's by a group other than the EDL, so I didn't want to put that in, Jeff. You know, but check Tommy Robinson's page on Facebook. You'll find out about that demonstration. It's by a group that is not the EDL, but they are worthy people. Let's put it that way, and we'll just leave it at that. You know, but there are people who are worth a lot of support and respect. You know, but I took that out of the audio. But you know, this is a young man, even with the specter of prison hanging over his head, he's got a dozen things going on in his head at the time, and they're all about helping the very, you know, the good people in the United Kingdom. the people who want to serve their country. And that really should tell you everything that you need to know about the guy. And I'll say this to our to my brothers and sisters in the UK. You know, there's already support coming in for him. You heard him talk about, you know, the one policeman that sent his picture from the United States. And there's others in the United States that are showing their support as well. You know, so there you go. I mean, Rex is going planet-wide, guys.
Just remember, Dave, that when Tommy Robinson first came upon the scene, the video that went viral was of a young man being angry at Muslims with the black flag, jumping over a fence and ripping up the black flag with the war writing on the flag and being wrestled to the ground. That was Mr. Tommy Robinson, right all them years ago, 2009, when he did that. And then, you know, and very short time later is when the English Defence League was established. He established the EDL. But that was his fight. Back in the time, it was standing up for our serving soldiers, and he's gone right in a circle. He's gone right back to what he was doing right from the beginning when he founded the EDL. It's been an extraordinary circle of events, isn't it, for Mr. Robinson? And you know, I think Tommy's got to realise there's a book out there about these soldiers. There's another book, and I don't know if you're listening, Tom. But if you're listening, buddy, there's a book to be wrote for them soldiers. Don't forget, all the messages you get, you could put notes down and you could talk to all these soldiers. You could write a book about
a book
the mistreatment of our serving personnel in the Army and Navy, whatever, because there are, you know, things that needs to be talked about. So it's just my thoughts, Dave, of... Tommy, what he's had to put up with all these years, and he's still fighting a good fight. He's, he's it's like a lion to a bit of raw meat. He get his teeth into it, and he will not let go. You know what I mean? And that's a true lion, isn't it? But
yeah,
Dave, good. Thank you, buddy, for the great slides today, and of course, not forget for the header. For the show as well. Well, thank you personally, Dave. That was a great, great call on your behalf, Dave. I really appreciate that.
And the
great scripting as usual, and especially to Vorb, some great stuff that you put in there today, Vorb. You did make me laugh about the bananas. I love having that guy there. Just he gets serious. Vorb gets serious, and we love you for that, Braddy. And at the same time, you offer up a great talking points. So once again, Vorb, thank you very much for coming to join us, myself and Dave, this afternoon. So, Dave, I'm just going to pass it back to you to find out where all the good people that are listening to us, where they can find you during the week.
All right, well, everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That runs through SHR Media. I'm also on the High Plains Pundit Talk Radio and the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday here in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. British Summertime. And I put out new shows at midnight Eastern on Saturdays, and that's 5 a.m. British Summertime right now. Right now, I currently have one that, that I did partly with Jeff, and it's part one of a special that I'm doing called Vagination, and it's talking about how the Me Too movement has been used as a political tool, modern feminism, and how they're trying to edge out men in the political and social portion of the United States of America, and how it's not serving anyone, and some of the hypocrisy. And Jeff, you helped out with one of those. It was from a previous show. We did really well with that. So everybody, please check that out. And part two is done and dusted. It's uploaded. It's ready to go on Saturday. So I encourage everybody to listen to that. And, Jeff, I just want to say today has been a terrific show. You know, I appreciate you very much. And Jan, who is busy today, thank you again for all the great stories. You know, you just helped set up the whole thing, and it's really wonderful. And, you know, again, my support also to not only to Mr. Tommy Robinson, but we never forget people like Melanie Shaw. We never forget, I never forget the troops here in the United States and law enforcement as well, the real law enforcement who actually put themselves out there. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and supporters of the cause in the UK, of the English Defense League, and patriots around the world working to make this a better world. God love you. Be blessed. And no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender day. Thank you very much. It's always great listening to your final thoughts for the afternoon. And, yeah, look, guys, we'll be back again this Sunday and probably a bit more to discuss about some of the stories we've been talking about today, because we like to follow up on different stories, don't we, Dave? So, anyway, that's it for us this afternoon, or this morning, wherever you might be, if you're in the United States, this morning. Thank you very much for joining us today, listening to the show. So, once again, thank you so much for all your growing support for the English Defence League radio show and the English Defence League the website as well. So, from myself, from Dave, and of course from the team, that's Jan and many other people associated with the EDL, the radio show, and you. No surrender. No surrender. And, before I go, please stay vigilant. Always stay vigilant. Okay, so no surrender. Okay, here we go.
Good afternoon, Jeff. Good afternoon, everybody.
Goodbye.
Good day, everybody in the United States.
Quite happy what I got. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy. I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your voice brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My New Zealand test was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your fact. 3 years of what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Tomorrow, la 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 la, oh.
Wow. That tune was played out to the last 10 seconds. That was spot on today, Dave. I got it just right. Once again, I got to thank everybody that was listening to us, whatever devices you were on. And we know that you do listen into the shows and that, and catch us on other devices. So thank you so much. So that's it, guys, from myself and Dave, and from everybody associated with what we do. We'll see you Sunday. So, okay, guys, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for this afternoon, and we'll see you again this Sunday. Cheers, guys.